Former slave ship captain and author of Amazing Grace, John Newton, once said, "If the Lord be with us, we have no cause of fear." Hi, I'm Rob West. It's easy to let fear take over when financial circumstances spin out of control. But there's a better way. We'll talk about that today. Then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, it's comforting to remember that the Lord is with us, but do we always live like we believe it? Unfortunately, we still give in to fear from time to time, especially when it comes to money issues. It's as if the circumstances seem more real than God's presence. What financial fears are you facing today? Maybe sudden life changes are making your finances unstable. You could be living paycheck to paycheck without any margin. Or perhaps you're afraid of losing your business or your home. For some folks, anxiety about bad financial news causes discouragement or even depression. You may be struggling with feelings of fear right now. But here's the thing. According to God's word, fear is futile. Being afraid accomplishes nothing except high blood pressure and sleepless nights. Jesus put it this way, "Can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your life?" So, what do you do when financial troubles tempt you to be fearful? Well, listen to Romans 8:15. "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." The truth is, you don't have to give in to anxiety and fear. Because of Christ's death and resurrection, you can give up your fears to our Heavenly Father. And even when you don't feel God's presence, you still know He's there, and He is good, and He loves you. By faith, you can trust God's provision and protection, no matter how sticky your circumstances are. If a financial problem is causing you to be anxious or afraid, just remember that faith is the opposite of fear, which is why fear is such an effective tool of Satan. When you stop trusting God and focus on your fear, you're right where the enemy wants you, taking your eyes off the goodness of God and concentrating on your own problems instead. Another of the enemy's fear tactics is the question, "What if?" Here are some familiar ones. What if the economy gets worse and I can't pay my bills? What if I don't have enough money for retirement? What if we have a medical emergency and our insurance isn't enough? What if my spouse dies? What if I can't find an affordable car? Or what if I lose my job? The problem with "what if" is that it makes us think about what might go wrong in the future. Well, we can't see the future, of course, but we worry about it anyway, don't we? And then we're right back being fearful again. Here's the point. In the midst of fear and uncertainty, we can hang on to the truth that God gets the victory. Our Lord conquered death and sin, so in Christ, we can stand firm against the fear tactics of our enemy. Isaiah 54:7 contains a fantastic promise about this. "No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord." You see, as servants of the Lord, we inherit the righteousness of Christ and can trust God to carry us through whatever financial fears and anxieties Satan throws our way. So let's look at a few more passages from God's word about the futility of fear. Jesus says in John 16:33, "In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." When money worries seem overwhelming, it helps to remember that we can endure any troubles with confidence that God is good. Isaiah 41:13 says, "I am the Lord your God who upholds your right hand, who says, 'Do not fear, I will help you.'" God is in control of all the details, and He will provide what we need at just the right time. 1 Timothy 1:7 says, "God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, so that we can be at peace about our financial circumstances." Finally, fear is just plain bad for you, spiritually, physically, and emotionally. As Proverbs 12:25 says, "Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up." That's a great thing to remember. When someone you know is struggling with fear, your kind words can make a difference. In Christ, we can reject the futility of fear because God gives us the power to walk in faith every day and the permission to come to our Abba Father for help. Now that's good news. Fear not, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Polarization, it's a disturbing trend over the last decade or so. Gone are the days, it seems, when people were civil about their disagreements. It was possible once to have a cordial, if not meaningful, relationship despite differing convictions. But as the body of Christ, we can show the world something better. In Jude 21, we're charged with this: keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. God's love should characterize our lives. His love makes all the difference because it changes hearts. So remain in God's love and keep your eyes on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get daily encouragement from God's Word with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
We long mostly for international peace, but Jesus, I believe, cares more about individual peace, internal peace. Yes, the world needs to come to peace, but how many of you know if peace comes to our hearts, pretty soon it comes to our culture?
Dr. David Jeremiah continues his series, Encouraging Words for Discouraging Times, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Looking forward to taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. That's right, whatever you're considering in your financial life, we want to help you think about it, process it through the lens of Scripture. You can call us today with lines open. We're taking your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let me mention before we dive into our calls today, once again, this is the last day of our campaign with Preborn here at American Family Radio. As you well know, abortion is the leading cause of death in the U.S. and the world. Over 65 million babies' lives have been tragically taken since Roe v. Wade. Sadly, with the abortion pill accounting for over 50% of all abortions, babies' lives are at an even greater risk. Well, in the midst of that, there is something we can do about it. Our partnership with Preborn is directly aimed at that. Listen to this. Since 2007, Preborn has partnered with pregnancy clinics in the highest abortion cities and regions across the country, providing life-saving ultrasounds. That's right. They provide mothers who choose life with maternity and baby clothes, diapers, car seats, counseling. They give them free ultrasound so they can see their baby's her baby's heartbeat. And when that happens, 80% of the time they choose to keep their baby. Not only that, they share the love of Christ with these women, and 80,000 women since, over the last 17 years have surrendered their lives to Jesus as a part of Preborn's work. So the ask is simple, and again, today is the last day, so we need to hear from you. Your gift of $28 provides one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound. $140 is five ultrasounds. You can help us put one of these pieces of equipment in one of these clinics with a gift of $5,000 or even $12,000. So whatever you can do, your best gift today would go a long way to helping us reach our goal to help 4,500 moms choose life through our partnership this week. So would you head to AFR.net right now? That's AFR.net. And learn more, or you can make a donation over the phone at 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Every gift helps, and we would love for you to be a part of Mission Preborn 2024. Again, AFR.net. Thanks in advance. All right, let's take your phone calls today. We've got some lines open. The number to call is 800-525-7000 with your financial questions today. Let's go to Oklahoma. Hi, Patrick. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. I've had some issues with my parents. They've fallen on some hard times, and I'd like to be able to help them out, but financially, I'm struggling myself, and I'm just looking for some ways that I might could do that to be able to help them out. Any advice that you may have?
Well, I certainly appreciate that, Patrick. And I know with our parents, we love to be able to step in and help wherever possible. Obviously, your ability to do that is going to be in part predicated on your own financial position. What is going on specifically with them right now? Is it just they're falling short each month? Is it just kind of a hole they've dug into with debt or credit cards? What are you seeing?
Yeah, they'd gotten a tire shop. And it seems like, every time they think they're going to make a surplus, they're always finding themselves paying more to, like, taxes and things of that sort, payroll. And so things at the house are starting to kind of dwindle down. And you know how those things go. If you've got more that you're putting out than bringing in, and you're the owner, then that falls back on you. And as their son, I'd like to be able to be in a position where I could help them more, just kind of keep their everyday life going. But keeping my everyday life going and helping them is kind of being a feat for me as well. So.
Yeah. No, I get that. I think the other piece of this is just whether your assistance would just to prolong the inevitable, which, you know, in this case, if the business isn't working, they may have to shut it down. Do you know enough to know whether, you know, that needs to be on the table? Oftentimes as a small business owner, you know, we just can't see that or don't want to see that because we don't know what we'd do next. But the reality is it's just not working financially. And the longer it goes on, the bigger the hole we're going to get into. And your desire to help, even if you can come in and provide some assistance, if they're in a situation where it's not going to get any better, you're in a sense, you know, still prolonging this difficult situation. So what do you feel like needs to happen from here?
Well, we have discussed and it is on the table to just shut everything down. But also shutting everything down, you know, that's that potential for them. If it could ever come back up, that potential would pretty much be gone. So we've discussed that, and then it's still, I think, well, if we do shut it down, you know, there's still that point in time where, you know, my dad would have to find any other form of income to be able to bring them back up to that. Yeah. So I still, even in doing that, I still felt a little bit of like maybe there could be something I could do to kind of help them until they get something else set up.
Yeah. Well, a couple of thoughts here. One is perhaps one way you can help is to cover the cost of somebody to come in and really analyze the business. So maybe there's a CPA that you know that could step in there and just help them look at the books and just see beyond, you know, what they may be seeing as the owners looking through rose-colored glasses, maybe help them really evaluate what's, you know, the profitability, if any, of this and the potential of it. And so maybe you pay to bring somebody in that could help them really get to the bottom of that decision, as hard as that might be. The second thing is, I think, looking at your own finances and really giving an honest look at what is my situation and what could I do if I find the right ways to do it, where I can reinforce the right behaviors and really get them pointed in the right direction. So it may involve you know, taking a look at your own finances, your budget. If you haven't done one, you know, maybe you pull that back out and really dial into that to say, what surplus do I even have available, if any, that I could redirect their way just to kind of get them through this rough spot. But I think we need to be working toward an ultimate decision as to whether or not this business is viable, and that may require some outside help. And perhaps the first thing you do to help is pay for that person to come in. But what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I haven't really thought about that much, and that kind of makes sense. If we could get somebody in there who might could tell us, you know, maybe we're just doing something wrong. Yeah. Maybe a second opinion might even help us figure out if we're paying too much in taxes or something like that. Maybe the CPA they have is overlooking some things.
Yeah, and really analyzing the books to say, what are some of the trends we see here, and, you know, what's been happening over the last 12 months, 24 months, you know, how much are they, you know, actually pulling out of this business from a profitability standpoint? It could be that they're just losing money and that, you know, it's being masked by, you know, them accruing debt or, you know, just covering things out of savings. So I think somebody who's, you know, helping you all look at, do we really have a viable business here? What would it take to turn it around? And if you know you've got a plan that you believe can work, then you can feel better about stepping in and providing some assistance. But until you know that, you may just be prolonging the inevitable. So I think that might be your next step here, Patrick, is to see if you can get somebody in there to analyze the business and give you all some wise counsel. Thanks for your call today, sir. We're right back after this. Stay with us.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman.
The most rewarding thing about my job is that we get to build relationships through our donors and our supporters and get to have that personal relationship with them.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Coming up in our final segment today, Jerry Boyer will stop by. We'll get Jerry's take on the market and the economy. Some real strength, obviously, here in the new year so far, certainly at the end of last year in the markets. Still a lot of emphasis on the Magnificent Seven, those big tech high flyers that have had so much momentum as of late. That continues. Incidentally, the S&P 500, the small caps segment of the market is still off 20% from their highs. So we haven't seen this broad-based rally. The strength has still been fairly concentrated. But Jerry will give us an update. What are we looking at in terms of the latest economic data? Also, an update on some of his work as of late in corporate engagement. That's coming up in our final segment today. In the meantime, we're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. We'd love to hear from you at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. We started today by talking about fear and really the what ifs that can lead to fear. What if the economy gets worse and I can't pay my bills? What if I don't have enough money for retirement? What if I have a medical emergency? Or what if I can't find an affordable car? Or what if I lose my job? And, you know, often we find that really that fear can be a spiritual trap. The late Larry Burkett used to say that our anxieties usually are not related to the lack of things, but to the loss of things. And Larry would go on to explain that one of Satan's favorite tools to discourage Christians is the question, what if? What if leads right down the road to fear. And so how do we overcome that? Well, as we reminded you this morning, we got to go back to God's word. We've got to look to the fact that Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation, but I have overcome the world. Isaiah reminds us, I am the Lord your God who upholds your right hand. Do not fear, I will help you. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And of course, 1 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So we can steer clear of the what-if mentality and trust God with the future. Now, what are some practical steps we can take to overcome fear and replace fear with faith in our financial lives? Let me share some of these with you. And by the way, we will be taking your calls in just a moment, so our team is standing by. If you have a question on anything financial today, your budget, debt repayment, maybe it's giving more wisely, defining enough for your savings and investing, or even navigating the markets, we'd love to hear from you. You can call right now. You'll get right through at 800-525-7000. All right, some practical steps for replacing fear with faith in our financial lives. Number one, turn down the noise of the world and turn up God's voice. You know, perhaps you need to consider turning off the 24-hour news cycle or financial media that just kind of runs in the background. Maybe you're logging in, several times a day to your investment accounts, watching the ticks up and down on your 401k or your stock portfolio. You know, perhaps that's driving you to anxiety, that you need to back off of that. We need to step back, and maybe we just look at it monthly or even quarterly. Remember, a long-term perspective doesn't mean that we're unaware of what's happening, but it does mean that we should periodically just say, you know what, I'm going to trust the process. I'm going to take a rules-based approach to my investments, and I realize that this is long-term in nature, and therefore I don't need to be watching it every second of the day, especially if that's giving rise to additional fear, anxiety in my life. Number two, give. Now, this might sound counterproductive. Rob, how can giving help me replace fear with faith in my financial life. Well, here's what happens when we're generous. You know, giving, we like to say, breaks the grip of money over our lives. Remember, money is not a sin. Money is a gift from God. It's a blessing from the Lord to be used for productive purposes as a tool. But the love of money is the root of all evil, the Bible tells us. And so when we give, it demonstrates our trust in God because we're saying, God, I can give a portion of what you've entrusted to me away because I trust and believe you will continue to provide. It's that ultimate act of trust when we're generous and we hold what God has given us loosely, which in turn then helps us to replace that fear with faith in our financial lives. The third step, I think, is just making a plan. You know, so often when we lack a plan, it can cause us to, you know, see our fear rise. And overcoming that, I think, in part says, okay, I'm going to be honest with reality. I'm going to open those credit card statements instead of sticking them in the drawer because I don't know how I'm going to pay them. I'm going to open those medical bills when they come in, and I'm going to write down what I owe to each of the medical providers or hospitals or doctors so I know what I've got to do. And then I'm actually going to make that call and work on that payment plan. And now I'm making some progress. And the fact that I know where I stand and the fact that I have a plan and I'm working toward that plan, I think is really a key step to replacing fear with faith and making some progress in your financial life. Number four, renew your mind. Read scripture. Dwell on, meditate on the promises of God that you find in God's word. That will be a critical piece to you overcoming fear, replacing it with faith in your financial life. Renew your mind. Get back into scripture. Turn on encouraging praise music that will just uplift your spirit whenever you feel that anxiety rising. And then finally, pray. Invite God into your financial life. You know, so often we're quick to pray about anything and everything, but when was the last time you prayed about your financial life? When was the last time you spread the bills out on the table and said, God, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but you are my provider and I trust you and I'm going to make the best next decision I can to be faithful as a steward. But at the end of the day, I'm going to trust you as my provider because I can't do this without you. And folks, when you make these steps, I believe you'll be able to replace that fear with faith and steer clear of the what-if mentality and trust God with your future as you turn down the noise of the world, as you give generously, as you make a plan, as you get back into scripture, and as you pray and invite God into your financial life. I hope that's an encouragement to you today. All right, a quick break and then back with your financial questions today. 800-525-7000. Lines are open. Call right now. We'll be right back.
Many in the Middle East are going through horrific circumstances and are seeking refuge in Lebanon. Heart for Lebanon is bringing them hope, and now you can help.
We endured shelling and hunger. We witnessed death everywhere.
$116 brings emergency supplies and the hope that only comes through the gospel.
I want to spend the rest of my life telling people about Jesus and his salvation.
Give now at faithfi.com/Lebanon or call 888-201-5577.
Today's issues.
Blaming a gun for a violent crime or a murder is like blaming the pencil for a misspelled word.
Ooh, I like that.
That would be like a student who he does terrible on spelling, and he says,
we've had a rash of pencil-oriented mistakes.
Misspell words.
Today's issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
So for God to speak is for God to engage in self-revelation. We only know God because God has condescended to speak to us.
The God Who Speaks is a 90-minute documentary that answers many of the common objections about the Bible's reliability. The film equips believers to confidently base their lives on the power of God's Word. It's available at streaming.afa.net.
Because of my past health history, finding affordable health care was nearly impossible. But then I found CHM, where costs are not adjusted based on medical history. Christian Healthcare Ministries even provides the freedom to choose my own providers. And the best part? CHM members pray for me. Too good to be true? It's not. I'm a proud member of Christian Healthcare Ministries, and if you think it could be right for you, learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Coming up in our next segment, Jerry Boyer stops by. Let me do remind you one more time, Preborn, our campaign continues. This is the last day. So if you'd like to help us provide free ultrasounds to women considering abortion to help them choose life, also to get the free assistance for up to 2 years when they choose life, and to share the gospel with them at the same time, you can join us right now with your gift of any amount at AFR.net. That's AFR.net. You'll see the way to give quickly and securely there online when you partner with us in our preborn campaign, AFR.net. Thanks in advance. All right, we're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. We've got some lines open in this segment of the broadcast. We'd love to hear from you. Whatever you'd like to tackle today, we'd like to help you think about it in light of biblical wisdom. 800-525-7000. Let's go back to the phones to Louisiana. Hi, Warren. Thanks for your call. Go ahead.
Thank you, Rob. I appreciate it. I have a question about my 401k. I'm retired about 3 years. I'm 70 years old, and I'm trying to figure out, should I sell what's in my 401 and roll it over to IRAs, or should I just continue? I'm not drawing anything out of it. I also have about $370,000 in a stock fund that I do sell. Probably once every 2 months, I'll sell some stock to use to supplement my Social Security.
Okay.
And I'm just trying to figure out the tax implications, basically, of getting out of the 401k.
Yeah, makes sense. Well, the stock fund that you're talking about, is that a taxable account? That's after-tax money?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
All right, yeah. So obviously you're paying capital gains as you're selling those investments.
Yeah, on whatever I made off of the stock. That's correct.
Yeah, very good. And who's managing that stock fund? Are those individual stocks, and are you selecting them?
It's a stock that I've had through my company.
Okay.
And Merrill Lynch is actually the ones that has it.
Okay, but it's a single holding that you have in that portfolio?
That's correct.
All right. Couple of thoughts on that. Number one is, to the stock fund for a second. I mean, obviously, you work there maybe for a long time. You probably believe in the company. The only challenge with that is you're a little highly concentrated. I mean, if we look at investable assets of 1.4 million, you've got a bit more than I'd like to see. At about 28%, 27% in that portfolio. And so I would say for a single stock, I'd probably want you to have no more than 10%. Now, I realize there's tax implications, so I'm not saying you should go sell it, it down to 10% all at once. That'd be $140,000. But I think the idea would be either continue to spend it down or diversify that away from the company. you know, unless you just really have a conviction to stay with it, just to lower your risk levels, because obviously you've got a lot of eggs in one basket. If the company had something unexpected or missed their earnings or, you know, just had a bad year or a period of time. With regard to the 401k, I do like you rolling that out, Warren, to an IRA. There would not be any tax implications on that as long as you rolled it out to the IRA. And then you'd have the ability to decide, do I want to pull from the IRA, which would just add to my taxable income, or do I want to pull from the taxable stock portfolio where I'm paying capital gains? And, you know, in any given year, it may make sense to pull from one or the other. The other benefit of having that 401k move to the IRA is really two things that jump out at me in addition to the flexibility on the taxes. One is you have a lot more options with regard to the investment. So before you roll it out, if you're open to this, I'd consider interviewing and selecting an investment advisor, somebody who'd be the one to manage this for you. Once you did that and it moves to an IRA, you're now kind of taking the blinders off. So instead of the, you know, 10 or 12 investment options in the 401k, whatever it is, you've now got unlimited investment options, which is good and bad. It's, you know, it can be challenging if you're the one managing it and that's not your skill set. You don't have the time and the training to do it. It's a good thing if you have an advisor who now can bring to bear whatever investments are best suited for your goals and risk tolerance and can manage that account appropriately. But the reason I'd select the advisor first is you'd want the advisor, if that's the direction you went, to open the IRA for you wherever he or she custodies their assets, and then you do that direct rollover into the IRA, which is, again, a non-taxable event. The last piece of this, and then I'll get your thoughts on all this, is one of the other benefits now that you're age 70 is you can do a qualified charitable distribution. So if you're doing any giving out of cash, so let's say you give to your church or a Christian ministry, you know, and you do that out of savings or out of your checking account, you could swap that with the qualified charitable distribution, give it now out of your IRA, which would allow you to do the same giving you were doing, except now you're pulling it from the IRA and you're getting it out without paying any tax on it. So now the ministry gets the full benefit of whatever the gift is that you were already going to give. You're not adding it to your taxable income. And so it's a way to hang on to that cash that you've already paid tax on and get that money out of the IRA without incurring any additional tax liability. But give me your thoughts on all that.
Yeah, I've been contemplating it for the past 4 years on the drawing it out on the 401k and putting it in an IRA. I like that idea. The other thing on my stock fund, I've just reluctantly did. I went to an advisor before I retired, and the first thing they wanted me to do was to sell the stock, which is what all advisors would tell you. But it's grown since I retired about $160,000 just in that one stock fund, and I've been able to draw down on it. I do draw down on it, like monthly or every other month. It depends on if I need it or not. That's why I still have that fund in that one stock. And I know at some point there's going to be a, oh, my Lord, here I go.
yes, sir.
And I know you're in control, so just let it go where it's going. But that's the only reason why I haven't drawn it down on the stock fund. Charitable giving, I've heard you say that several times, and I haven't even thought about that, but I started going through my checking account, and my wife has gone through it with me, and I am giving a lot of different places that I, because I have it automatically drawn out my checking account, and you see it every month, so it goes to those charitable organizations that I send it to and my church. So that would be something that probably be worthwhile for me to look into.
Yeah.
On that side of it.
Well, it would just allow you to essentially do the same giving you're already doing, but do it from the IRA, which is a way to get it out without paying any tax on it, which you wouldn't be able to do otherwise. So that's the only reason. I realize there's an extra hassle factor there because now you got to fill out the qualified charitable distribution and let the ministry know it's coming a different way. But it would be a way for you to save a little bit on taxes because at some point somebody's paying tax on that money, whether it's you or your wife or whoever inherits it. And this is the way to get it out without doing that. So, I mean, and back to the stock fund, I would say I totally get that. And you obviously worked for that company, you knew and believed in it, and you've done well. And that's not a bad thing. I'm just saying over time, we probably want to get that down toward 10% whenever you feel like is the right timing for that. If you want to find an advisor, you could do that on our website at faithfi.com. Thanks, Warren, for your call. Hope that was helpful. We'll be right back.
We don't have to be like the 10 that said it can't be done, it's too big, the giants are too big. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, you know what, there are giants, this is a massive problem. When you have a nation that is ignorant of the principles that produce a free society, start where you can. It's the only way I know. It's a little bit at a time.
Join Walker Wildman and Rick Green as they tackle today's issues from a biblical and a constitutional perspective. At the Core, 1 p.m. Central weekdays on AFR.
Jesus told his disciples to go and tell others that he was risen indeed. What better way to do that than with the next door neighbor to North America? I'm Charles Morris with an invitation to join me and David Wolin and our Spanish speaker Danny Rojas for the next Haven Today and a program called A Haven of Hope for Cuba.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at AFR.net.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We're taking your calls today here in our final segment, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. But first, Jerry Boyer's here. He joins us in this segment of the broadcast each Friday with a look at the markets and the economy. Jerry, good morning.
Good morning, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing great, buddy. It's good to hear your voice. And I know you and I were together yesterday talking to the Kingdom Advisors, and you were sharing quite a bit of data that you and your team had put together just analyzing the previous quarter. Maybe you could summarize that and just kind of share with our listeners here today where you see us at this point economically and in the markets.
I see us as doing less well than the performance of the markets gives the impression that we're doing, in that if one just looks at, quote, the market, which for most people means the Dow or the S&P, and they say the market's up a lot this year, that means everything's great. And as you know, there's lots and lots of different markets. There's the NASDAQ and there's the Dow and there's a bond market and there's currency markets and there's gold markets and commodity markets and energy markets and crypto markets now. And you have to kind of look at all of them. And what they seem to be sending the message when you look at all of them together is that a lot of the alleged strength in the markets is due to easy money or expectations of easy money. So markets have basically got convinced over the past quarter that the Fed is going to start cutting in a couple of months, pumping money back into the system. And that pushes markets up because in the same way, I mean, if you put if you put water into a pool, you know, the beach ball goes up, right? But you know, that's not it's not levitating. That's water in the pool. If you put money into markets, you push them up. But
yes,
that doesn't mean they're actually more valuable. It just means easy money is distorting the valuations. And so that was kind of the message yesterday. And we kind of saw that, you know, yesterday when the GDP number came out and it was better than expected. The press played it as extremely good. I heard booming or sizzling. It was it's 3.3% growth rate. The historic average for America is 3.2%. That doesn't seem sizzling or booming to me. That seems about average.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, I mean, maybe there's some politics working its way into that. And of course, what happened? Well, we're doing better than we thought. And so markets went down, right? Because, you know, the Fed won't have to fight growth, essentially. And then today, we got better than expected inflation numbers. And that meant, okay, well, we beat inflation, so the Fed is going to be able to start cutting again. And then markets went up. So we see the same pattern again and again. Markets don't move based on the fundamental economy. They move based on how we think the central bank is going to react to the fundamental economy.
Mm, yeah. Jerry, what about this easy money? You know, when you're addicted to drugs and you try to come off of those, you detox. It's a shock to the system. It's painful, but it's necessary. I mean, is that kind of where we're at? Our economy has become so dependent upon this easy money policy that it's going to be painful to ever get away from it?
Yeah, I think that's a good analogy. In fact, I was thinking about and kind of praying about, how do I explain this? You know, because it's kind of weird the way the economy works right now. And imagine somebody, you know, broke an arm, or they think they broke an arm, and the doctor puts you on painkillers, and you feel pretty good. And then you go get an X-ray, and the doctor says, oh, your arm isn't broken. Well, if you've been on painkillers for a while, you don't say, yippee, my arm isn't broken. You say, oh, no. No more painkillers. And that's what kind of happened when yesterday's GDP number came out and said, oh, the economy's arm isn't broken. Why do markets go down? Wow. Oh, because they're going to take you off the painkillers.
Right.
So it's, you know, our mood is the opposite of the reality, because if we don't have a bad economy, that's the argument that the Fed's going to remove the drug of easy money, which we've gotten addicted to. And that produces bad market sentiment rather than good market sentiment. Now, of course, you know, anybody who's in a situation like that knows what you need to do is stop taking drugs, right? You get into recovery, for example, and you don't take any more drugs. You get off them. You don't kind of gravitate back and forth. You're so order on the drug, off the drug, on the drug, off the drug. So we're not getting off the drug. We're sort of on again, off again, on again, off again, which, you know, I know people who are in recovery. That's not the right way you do it.
Yeah.
But in our economy, that's how we're doing it. And so from week to week, from day to day, we're either getting off the drug or getting back on the drug. And that produces, you know, the kind of instability we're seeing.
Yeah, no doubt about that. All right, Jerry, I know you've been doing a lot of work, as always, in the corporate engagement space, even working with some state treasurers around the U.S. Give us an update on your work as of late.
Yeah, I think one of the things that listeners here ought to really be paying attention to is the upcoming meeting of Apple, where Walker Wildman is going to be speaking to the board of directors, the CEO, and the other shareholders, making the case that they should not be deplatforming religious content, you know, making the case that there's been bias in the way that they've been doing that. And one of the things that I would hope to see is for anybody listening right now to look at your 401k or IRA or wherever you have your money and see whether you have Apple stock, whether you own it directly. And if you do, and they send you a proxy via email, and if they don't, ask your advisor. You can log on to that meeting. It's not that hard. The proxy has a little something called a control number and tells you which web page to go to. You don't have to travel anyplace. You go there, you log on, you put in that control number, and you can ask questions. There's a little portal where you can ask questions or make statements of support, and you can go there and back AFA's play to stop Apple from discriminating, at least apparently. On the surface, it certainly looks like they're discriminating based on religious content.
Hmm. Jerry, when is that shareholder meeting?
February 28th, noon Eastern.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll continue to talk about that. Excited that you're working alongside Walker and the team at AFA to make that a reality. Well, Jerry, always grateful for you, my friend. Thanks for giving us your update on the markets and for the great work you're doing to advocate for Christian values in boardrooms across America.
And for your work every day you do on this show.
Thank you, Jerry. Bless you, buddy. We'll talk to you next
week. Bless you.
That's Jerry Boyer. He's president of Boyer Research. He's also our resident economist here at Faith and Finance. He joins us each Friday. He's active on social media. You can check him out there on LinkedIn and X. You can also pick up a copy of his book, The Maker Versus the Takers. And it will be a fascinating read for you. All right, let's round out the broadcast today with your questions. We probably have room for one more question beyond what we already have at 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's talk to William in Alabama. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, hi. How are you today? I'm
doing great. Thanks for your call, sir.
Okay, the great red state, I'd like to say to people out there. I'm 70 years old, and I'm just trying to find or think if there's like another avenue to park my cash. I have cash. I'm basically cash rich. I have two traditional IRAs as well as two Roth IRAs that I'd like to move. I just don't know where. I've been okay. And so I do okay with the cash right now because the interest rates are, you know, I mean, they're up to like 5.15%.
Yeah.
Where those funds are. And so I'm doing okay there, and I'll do okay there for the rest of this year. I'm wondering if you would have another avenue where I can do a little better, where I won't have to be subject to the tax at the end of the year. I know there are ways out there. I'm not interested in the stock market. I'm not interested in real estate. I'm not interested in bonds. I'm through. Go ahead.
Oh, well, that last part was helpful and important because, you know, I mean, there are ways you can invest and try to minimize return minimize risk and still get a reasonable rate of return and minimize taxes at the same time. One of those ways would be through municipal bonds. But if you said, listen, I'm not interested in real estate, stocks or bonds, what do you have for me? You know, there really aren't a whole lot of options. I mean, you could look at, you know, oil and gas royalties. I mean, there are a few other asset classes out there. You know, you could look at precious metals, although that doesn't generate any kind of income. And there can be quite a bit of volatility because that's more of the fear trade. So it has to do with kind of how much fear is built in to the system at any given time. So I think perhaps your best option, William, just given what you said there about not wanting to go into real estate, stocks or bonds, is to maybe look at sometime in the next 6 months. Which, you know, we think the first rate cut will probably come in May. So maybe here in the next 3 months is look at locking in a portion of this, maybe what's beyond your emergency fund. And what I mean by that is if you've heard me on this program at all, you know, I'd like for you to keep 3 to 6 months expenses liquid. So I'd keep that in your high yield savings with full liquidity, but maybe anything beyond that, go ahead and lock it up for 5 years in a CD. And instead of getting, you know, 5.1 or 5.5, maybe you're down in the fours, but at least you're locking that in for 5 years before the rates start coming down in a meaningful way over the balance of this year and next. But give me your thoughts on that. I've just got about 30 seconds left.
That is sound advice. Yeah, I appreciate that. I'm very big on CDs, and I go out actually for the 5 years.
Okay.
And I thought maybe that's kind of what you would say.
Yeah.
And so that's probably what I would have to do.
Okay.
Is there any advice on the IRA, real quickly, before you go?
Yeah, no, I think, I mean, you can do CDs inside the IRA too, but I would love for you to have an advisor who's helping you there with building a stock and bond portfolio. But if you're uncomfortable with that, I think you'd have to live in the CD camp. I would also say look at laddering those CDs as well. Unfortunately, I'm out of time, William. Thanks for calling today, sir, and may the Lord bless you. Folks, thanks for being along with us. Hey, our pre-born campaign, this is the last day. Help us fund these ultrasounds with your gift of any amount at AFR.net. Thanks to my team today, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.